Well, how many times have you heard it said that God's love is unconditional? Maybe you've said it yourself. Now, if what you mean by that is that God loves all people, and if what you mean by that is that his love doesn't depend on our behaving ourselves, and if you allow for the fact that those who reject Messiah will nevertheless go to eternal judgment, then I concur. But while his love may be unconditional, his favor is decidedly conditional. The Torah portion for this Shabbat is called Bechukotai, meaning in my statutes. And if it were up to me, I'd probably call this section Ha'im Hagadol, the big if. And I'll explain why as we go through. The passage is Vayikra, otherwise known as Leviticus, chapters 23, 6 through 27, 34, and it brings us to the end of the book. God says to Israel, if you will walk in my statutes and my commandments to observe and to do them, then, okay, if you will, then I will. And so in response to Israel's obedience, the list of what God will do is marvelous. He will give our people rain, both seasonally and proportionally, such that every year we'll see a bumper crop. From sowing time to harvesting and from planting time to gathering, abundance will be the rule. One crop will overtake another, and the same will be true for the fruit of the land. God further promised, if we would be obedient, that he would give us secure borders, peace in the land, victory over our enemies, and most blessedly of all, he would delight to dwell in our midst and be our God. But it's all conditioned by that one word, im, if. In response, however, to our disobedience, Adonai forewarns the appalling circumstances that will overtake us. Instead of feasting, we will have famine. Invasion and defeat before our enemies will be our lot. Our once beautiful land will be laid waste, and we would go into exile. Our rebellion against God would even lead us to starvation and cannibalism. The passage also says that we would become completely paranoid, fearful for no cause, superstitious, running away when no one is chasing us. Verse 36 says the sound of a driven leaf will chase them. What a lamentable condition. But again, that too is conditioned by that big im, if. Now the Haftarah reading accompanying this section of the Torah, which is from Jeremiah 16, draws a similar dichotomy. Listen to what the words of the prophet had to say. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when heat comes. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness. Now, the focus of chapter 27 concerns assigning fair value to the things a person might dedicate to the Lord, as well as the tithe of our income and the great importance of following through on our vows. Whenever we make a vow, we must make good on that. You and I have the benefit of hindsight. Everything described in Leviticus 26 came to pass exactly as Moses wrote. Likewise, the prophets gave the same warning, which sadly went unheeded in the history of my people. Yet this same passage, which cautions of the dreadful consequences of despising God's covenant, also promises that if our people would humble ourselves, confess our sins, and return to him, God would remember us and remember his covenant and return us to the land and restore our prosperity. Those who teach replacement theology, this idea that the church has replaced Israel and that God is finished with the Jewish people. They seem to have ignored this provision of the covenant. Ironically, such people ascribe to what is called covenant theology. How's that for irony? I think they need to go back and review this covenant. Let me close with this. There's something here that we really need to take to heart. And Yeshua himself spoke of the same thing. There are absolutes. I know that doesn't go over well in our postmodern society, but there are absolutes, as much in the spiritual realm as in the physical realm. We are called to declare our loyalty one way or the other. God's kingdom is not for the indecisive. We must not deceive ourselves into thinking, well, there's a comfortable middle when it comes to Yeshua, God's promised Messiah. It was a hard line that Yeshua drew in the Galilean sand when he said, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." The scriptures speak of an ongoing cosmic war. Now, there's no question about who's going to win the war. The only question is where individual human beings, where you and me, will find ourselves when the dust settles. Blessings and curses follow your decisions. And if you would have blessings, you must choose Yeshua, which is the essence of obedience to God's new covenant.